Councilman Napa?
Thank you. Director, can you just explain for clarity for us and people watching and listening at home, administrative assistant for finance and half an FTE, is that employee serving sort of like the chief of staff, two different hats in two different departments, or is that a part-time position?
It's a full-time employee. She works for community development and the finance office.
Thank you. And then just one question on something that you had said, that our budget's behind. Our audit is behind schedule. Is that because the city was waiting for information from, to receive information from other departments, or is that just because it's a cumbersome budget and we haven't gotten to
the audit?
Yes.
It's solely the school department.
Okay. Because they haven't presented their audit to you?
They haven't presented the information to our auditors, not completely. Right now, they're held up on their UCOA audit.
Okay. And without the school department finishing their audit, the city then can't do its
we
own
cannot,
complete audit?
No.
Thank you.
Councilman Mito?
Okay. So can we just go over one more time your net numbers and your gross numbers? So just to make sure we're on the same page, I'm looking at temporary services. And in 25-26, we had $30,000. And you're saying that was the net number?
Yes.
Okay. So that net, it was $25,000 above that?
We actually, it ended up a little less than that. But we budgeted the net.
Okay. But the gross, if you were doing it this year, what would that number be?
39.
Okay. And then on the proposed budget, and this is where I lost you or what the council person. So we have the request is 14,000 in temporary services.
Yeah, because when we get the reimbursement from the bond, yep, ultimately the expense will be net. So you need to combine those two items together.
So it's net, not gross.
Well, the expense is net. Yep. The supporting document should show the detail that gets to that amount.
All right.
Because I mean, the 18-101, mm-hmm, is also all the salaries with the enterprise fund back charges net to it.
All right. I'm just challenging consistency here. If we're gonna go gross, let's go gross all in and the offsets. Because I'm replaying an example of the dollars for healthcare several meetings ago where we upcharged or up budgeted X amount of millions of dollars, but in the reasoning was that we can't pull out the net from the contributions from the employees, so we need to up that line item. This feels like it's the same thing.
I actually see where you're going.
Okay. Thank you.
I haven't looked at it from that perspective before. It is funny because when you do the journal entry for these, you offset the expense, which is reflected in the budget here. And then the money that we're getting in from the enterprise funds is actually a revenue. So there's a two-sided entry that comes in on the other side too.
So would that be an adjustment that we possibly make just for consistency?
No, because there's a two-sided entry that comes over, mm-hmm, of revenue, which you'll see on the revenue side probably late tomorrow night, that offsets these expenses. So when you budget for it on this expense side, you actually do have to do that. The healthcare is a completely different animal because we pay those invoices to the trust. And I wanted to make it clear at the time that this is actually what we are paying to the trust, which is the same logic here. I wanted to be clear about what we are paying Peter Schaefer here. And then we will get reimbursement from the bond for some of those expenses. We get reimbursement for healthcare from co-shares from employees.
So that's where you're losing me here, is that you want to show what we're paying him.
Right.
We're paying him $39,000.
Right.
So we should have $39,000 in that line item.
No, because accounting standards say you don't do it that way.
All right. Are we going to apply accounting standards all the way through? Because I want to make sure, because I have some accounting standard questions.
Because then I will fail our audit.
All right. I'm just challenging the picking and choosing of accounting methods. So
I actually do see where you're seeing that, but they're similar but different.
Okay. I will yield, but I don't agree.
Councilman Lattiser.
So I'm confused because in the personnel supplement, you have temporary services, which this year you're budgeting for $39,000 in the personnel supplement. But yet in your general fund, you have $18,440 temporary services approved in 2026 for $30,000. And as we already discussed, that doesn't say whether it's net or gross. But then you only are requesting $14,000 this year in your general fund budget. So where are you going to get the other $25,000 from?
In the closing costs of the school bond.
In the closing costs of the school bonds.
Correct.
And when do you get that?
And in this case, next year, we won't actually be seeking the final tranche for the high school projects. So we'll actually have to do an accrual entry to move that and get reimbursed in 28.
So once again, we're borrowing some money from what we're anticipating on getting from school reimbursement.
No, like from the final tranche of the high school bond. Nothing to do with the reimbursement. It's part of the closing cost.
But it's reimbursement for the school from the school bonds, right?
You're talking about reimbursement from the state.
I'm talking about whatever you said. I asked, where are you getting the extra $25,000?
When we do the final tranche of the high school bond,
yes,
the first expenses that come off of that are all called closing costs. So that includes bond counsel, Bank of America fees, all of that. In there will be an invoice for Peter Schaefer's time.
So the only time that Mr. Schaefer is putting in with the city is strictly on the school bond stuff?
No.
No. What else?
He had a lot of opinions about this budget.
A lot of what?
He had opinions about this budget. So he consulted with this budget as well, among other things.
So he does a lot of other things other than just the school bond stuff. But yet,
yeah,
$25,000 of his $39,000 is coming from school bond stuff?
The majority of his time is related to school bond.
Councilman, you have about a minute left.
Professional services. You've increased your professional services by $40,000.
Yes. Why? Because I'm out to bid at the moment for an audit firm, and I've been told it will increase significantly.
For an audit firm?
Yes. My contract ends with the 26 year, so I need one for the 27 year. Sorry, 25 year. I'm getting my years mixed up because we're so far behind.
So that professional services line item is strictly for an audit firm?
Yeah, there's some small fees for arbitrage on bonds and things too.
So kind of like a city council auditor type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And you're also increasing your contingency by $25,000 to $200,000.
No, it's always been $200,000.
I'm sorry. Let me reclarify. Your projection for this year is $175,000.
Yes.
You're looking to carry forward $200,000 again.
Yeah, some years we've needed to use that $200,000.
Okay. Even though in at least the two or three years that I have, you have not used anyways near $200,000. So in 2025, you used $114,000. In 2024, you used $74,000. right? So why haven't you reduced that line item by 23%? Because you haven't been using it. It's been sitting there, but you haven't been using it.
I see where you're going. It's there for only emergencies. So the year that we used it the most was quite a few years ago when we had a macro burst. We had a lot of trees down. We needed that money, and there was no reimbursement. This year, we had a lot of snow. Ultimately, I didn't need to use this because there was an emergency declared, so we reserved that money in a fund for FEMA.
Sure.
But if the council decided they needed to hire a consultant to do some work, contingency could be a place where that would happen. But the intent of that fund is for emergencies.
Councilman, you're okay. Out of time.
Budget analyst.
Councilman, you're out of time. So unless someone motions to give you more time.
Okay.
Councilman Ricks, sorry.
Move to give Councilman Lattiser an additional 3 minutes.
Seconded by Councilman Napa. Any objection? All right, have at it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Budget analyst, is that a new position?
Nope.
Okay. And the individual that's in that position in Budget Code 481, I don't know if it's a he or a she, do they qualify for contractual increases?
Correct.
They do. Okay. Duly noted. Okay, thank you. That's all I need.
Councilman Napa.
Director, can you just explain the rationale as to why we would finance $25,000 of a salary of a part-time employee over 30 years at a premium rather than just pay that out of the budget and allocate that money elsewhere?
It's because most of the work he is doing is consulting for our bond. That's the rationalization.
It seems illogical to finance $25,000 when we're talking about a $382 million budget. Relatively small number to incur 7% interest on over 30 years.
It's a tiny amount of money on the bond.
It is. It seems illogical to incur interest on something that we could absorb into the budget easily.
If you would prefer to do that, we could do that. I have gone through this budget to try and find every amount that I could.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
All right. Any other members of the council for finance department? Any members of the public have any questions for finance department? All right, seeing none, we can move on to treasury.
Good evening, Kyla Jones, tax collector and interim treasurer. This budget has no increases for salary items other than contractual. There is one longevity increase in there. There's no vacant positions. And the change for personnel amounts would be the position of treasurer, which is split with collector.
Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Director, on the accounts payable specialist, you're showing a 21.2% increase. Can you give me the breakdown on how you arrived at a 21.2% increase?
That was a step increase.
I'm sorry?
It was a step increase for that employee.
Okay, so that's what I want to know. What's the contract increase? What's the step increase? What's the longevity increase? To total breakdown of the 21.2%.
It's all contractual.
But what is the contractual? That's what I'm asking. Is the contract for the base salary, I think it's 3.something%, and then you have a step increase and you have longevity. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the items that equal 21.2% increase?
I believe I'd have to look in the union book to see what that increase is, but for the contractual, it's the 3.25%. The annual contractual is the 3.25%, and I think mid-year it's like a 0.9%, but she hit her top step, so I would have to go to the union contract to see what that top step amount is.
And you're positive that this individual gets step increases and or longevity?
Yes.
You're sure on that?
Yes. Yeah, she's part of the bargaining unit.
Okay. I'm going to have to just ask you to just send me those percentages because I just can't understand. I'm sorry, I can't understand the numbers that you're saying. Okay. I believe there's three different numbers, right? There's the contractuals, there's the step, and there's the longevity. Those three items, right? That's what if you could just send me that, how that comes up to 21.2%.
Do you have anything else, Councilman Madison?
No. I can't understand the numbers that she's saying.
Oh, fair enough. Your request makes sense. Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. So, question I'm asking about is going to be on line item 19-106, overtime. Granted, these are not numbers that are breaking the budget, but it all does add up. So, I see that the request for that line item is $1,500. In recent years, it seems that number has always been greater than $1,500. From what I'm seeing in the budget packet, fiscal year 24, it was $4,600 and change. Fiscal year 25, it was a hair over $3,000. This fiscal year, year-to-date as of March 31st, was a bit over $4,200, and budget packet has it projected at a little over $6,700. So I suppose the question is the $1,500 realistic, and what can be done to make sure that that overtime budget is brought so that it is sufficient, and any additional efforts to try to keep within that $1,500 request for the upcoming fiscal year?
I believe the $1,500 is reasonable for this year. Last year, we went over budget. Our payroll specialist retired and left that spot vacant for a period of time, in which we had to have their backup cover not just their own job, but cover the payroll job. And it is a full-time job, so that person did have more overtime than usual. The person in the position now doesn't have the time to use and take off, as she's a new employee. And I think we'll be just fine going forward this year with the $1,500.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
I have a question. I think we'll see if I'm confusing myself. Comparing last year's supplement to this year's supplement, the treasurer/tax. Oh, all right, it changed. I've answered my own question. Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. Some clarification on the personnel supplement. I'm on page 9 of the personnel supplement. Just let me know when you got there.
I got it.
Okay. Along the bottom, we have the chargebacks, the CDBG block grant credit, the water enterprise fund credit, and the sewer enterprise fund credit. Would you explain those and how they impact your budget?
So those funds are to help cover some of the salary items for the employees that are doing the work. So we have an accountant that does the accounting portion for like the water and sewer authority. So they charge back some of our time. And this CDBG block grant. We have an employee in our office that takes care of all the financing for that. So it comes out of those enterprise funds back to the city side.
Follow-up question. How has this changed from a year ago?
Hi. So all of the enterprise back charges you're going to see changed. All of them were running higher this year than we had budgeted. So this year I went through and did a complete reconciliation to set them to a more realistic goal or realistic budget. So you'll see that all of them changed. Community development has always had a back charge. It used to be to finance. It has recently changed to treasury because that's where the work has gone. But all the enterprise fund back charges you'll see went up for all the administrative departments.
So what you're saying is that we've increased the dollars we're shifting from the enterprise to operating?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, budgetarily.
Yes. And your approach on how you did that, would you mind explaining how you went through it? Did you do a time study? Did you do, how did you track these increases?
In the case of Treasury, we actually use how many bills we're processing for them and kind of the size of their financial statements because they do all the work to get them through the audit as well. We're not on collections yet, but in collections, we reset it all based on bills. So how many bills are we setting out for property tax versus water and sewer? And we adjusted that way.
And you based it on what you've done in the past, number of bills, dollars that were
Correct.
Allocated and projected.
So yeah.
The number of bills have increased that we sent out significantly?
I don't remember what it was last year to this year. I do know the supporting schedule for all the enterprise fund back charges hadn't been touched in a couple years. So we went and cleaned it all up.
Okay. I guess I'm questioning what cleanup meant. So I need to, we'll follow up on that with further down the road. There's a lot of questions moving money and shifting money from the enterprise to operating. But we'll follow up on that. Thank you.
I'm all set.
Does any members of the public have anything for Treasury? All right, seeing none, we now move on to debt principal / interest.
Good evening. You'll see the budget in front of you is presenting our debt payments that are required next year.
Councilman Lattice.
There's a significant increase with school debt.
So on the school bonds, let's start out with that, 2501 school bonds, a request for $4,577,500. Can you explain to us how that payment is going to be made and when we get reimbursed?
The payments are made every 6 months, I believe, May and October for those in particular. These are just the debt payments, just paying them to Rybeck. The reimbursements that come in aren't going to come in for 2 years until when the high schools are complete, as the mayor mentioned.
2 years from what, please?
2 years from now.
From now, assuming the schools are finished 2 years from now, right?
Correct. Correct.
Because that we don't get that reimbursement until the schools are finished.
Correct. The buildings themselves have to be complete.
And I think it was spoken to earlier at another meeting that the language about the fields being part of this, they're not part of this, it's only the buildings.
Yes, during my opening statement, I explained that we've worked with RIDE and they've agreed to begin reimbursement when we issue a CO on the buildings. We don't have to wait for the demolition or the construction of the fields. The kids don't even have to be in it. It's when a CO is issued. And I've just talked to Mr. DeCourt and told him to try to issue a CO tomorrow, but he said no.
Okay.
Come on, that was funny, Councilman.
And the municipal road and bridge fund loan, what is that?
We have a bond that Mayor Solomon had to repair roads.
That was part of the $10 million bond, right?
Correct.
So there's still $1,419,000 remaining out of that bond?
I don't think there's anything remaining in that bond.
Or is that a payment we have to make?
It's a payment we have to make.
Is that the remainder?
These are the payments we make. Not the remainder. There's nothing left.
Okay. Is that the final payment on that $10 million?
No.
Okay. So there's still more to go.
Correct.
Okay. That's all I have on that. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything for debt, principal, debt, interest? Do any members of the public have any questions on this?
Good evening. Ann Sheridan, Ward 9. The question I have is the increase in what from last year to this year, is that the money that was discussed transferring from OPEC, the $4 to $5 million that's needed? Is that where that money's coming from?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
So, the last two meetings, there was a lot of discussion about transferring funds from the OPEC account to this year's budget. For
the OPEB? That has nothing to do with debt.
Interest. So you've got two categories there, debt service and interest.
Yes.
Right? So the interest
went
up like almost $4.5 million. The interest payment that's due this year.
These are just we've released debt to buy for improving roads, for improving the schools, and these are the payments that we have to pay back for it. OPEB is funded through our
I understand
pension
that.
Fund, our pension budget.
I get that. But I thought we had a lot of discussion over the last month that we needed to move some money out of the OPEB fund to support the debt.
We're not moving any money from the OPEB trust. None. We are continuing to fund it.
Did I miss something the last last month?
Yes. I'm sorry. Ms. Sharon, we're not transferring money from OPEB because it was never in there. You're talking about the $5 million, correct?
Right.
That was already in the operating budget that went to the municipal pension. We don't have to fund it at that level anymore. So the $5 million was slated to go into the OPEB fund. We simply aren't putting it in there. We're deferring it until after we receive full reimbursement from the state. It was never in the fund. We're not taking anything out of the OPEB fund.
Okay, I understand now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public have any questions regarding debt principal, debt interest? All right. Seeing none, we can move on to city collector.
Kyla Jones, tax collector and interim treasurer. In the collector's office, we have one vacant position, only contractual increases, two of which are longevity increases. The collector treasurer salary is split, and there's been the increase in funding from the enterprise funds.
Do any members of the council have any questions regarding city collector? Councilman Lattiser?
Director, on the senior appraiser, there's two positions, and that has increased 18.6%. What is the breakdown totaling the 18.6%?
So that's a different department.
I'm sorry?
That's for city assessor you're asking about. We're in city collector.
Sorry. Okay. To the city collection, you have a reduction in the treasurer tax collector, 50%. A portion of salary is paid out of treasury. So that's where I believe you get half your salary and then the other half comes from elsewhere. That's why that's the reduction?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's all I have on that one.
All right. Anyone else have anything for city collector? Any members of the public have anything for city collector? Seeing none, we can move on to city assessor.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. We did have one step increase, which is that senior appraiser that you were just speaking about. So you had both a longevity increase and a step increase. Otherwise, it was the contractual percentage raises that everybody else was eligible for. In addition to that, we do have three open positions that we will be filling this year. We had kept them open, trying to work out some modifications over the last year, both to save money during revel and to keep the budget down as much as we can. Interestingly, when I came here about 8 years ago, we are about the same amount of budget then as we are now. Part of what we did last year with the full reval, saving over $1 million, we're going to do a similar change for the statisticals. So over a 10-year period, we're going to save about $2 million or roughly $200,000 per year. And that's by doing a little bit of the reval every year instead of doing it once every 3 years.
Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. Director, you have a new position here. It's assessment records specialist. And what's the reason for the creating that position?
So it was actually an error in last year's personnel supplement. We didn't have two assessment clerks last year. We had one assessment record specialist and one clerk, but it went to last year's budget wrong. There is no new position this year. It's the same net number of employees. If you look, it was 10 last year, 10 this year. It was just put in the budget wrong last year as two assessment clerks.
I see. So it was entered wrong in the budget last year?
That's correct.
On the senior appraiser, I know you said that it was contractual step, et cetera. What is the, and by the way, I'll be asking the same question to all department heads. I would have thought that that would be provided to us initially. What is the percentage that totals 18.6%?
Well, it's not necessarily a percentage. Her longevity went from, in my eyes, it's tough, but looks like about 81.41 to 99.50 for just the longevity. So that's more of a flat amount. Mm-hmm. Then she had a 1.0325% annual increase, and then the January increase of the 9%, about 0.09%. And the difference was the step increase.
But there is this, the contract. The contract is X percentage. Then there is a step increase. That's whatever the percentage is. Then there's a longevity, and that's whatever the percentage is. Those are the three numbers that I'm looking for that are going to total whatever this percentage is that we're talking about.
Well, but the math doesn't work that way. So those are all percentages. But for instance, so her base salary went from 72,167 to 90,000. And again, my eyes are tough. I think it's 258. Then we have the 1.0325. Then we have the 1.009. So they're not all percentages, and math being the way it is, you can't just do the math out of order. So I can look that up and get you the actual contractual amount. But I went through this. The personnel department went through this, and I actually had each employee test it to make sure that my numbers were correct and everything reconciled. So
we agree that there is a formula.
Correct.
To get to that. Okay. Whatever that formula is, that's what I'm asking for. So we agree there's a formula. So the formula, my point is the formula should be explained or provided to us so we don't sit here, at least I don't sit here and say, okay, how did you get an 18.6%?
I mean, we can pull it out and give it to you, but everything is online for the public to see. The contracts mm-hmm. are out there. Every piece of it is available. So we'll get that for you, but it is out there for the public, for the people listening.
And Director, with all due respect,
just for the people listening on YouTube.
I understand it's online, but I also understand I am not Mr. Technology. I've made that very clear. And I spent countless hours on all of these things. And I, quite honestly, I'm not having the time to start chasing stuff down on the city website when it can be very easily provided to me.
Fair enough. I said it more for the public.
True. That's all I have on this item. Thank you. Oh, no, I know. Temporary services. So this has been a vacant position for some time, and now you are plugged in for $10,000 for temporary services. What is the need for the temporary services?
So it's not actually a new position. Sandra Gemma, who worked in my office for over 40 years, retired. We had her back last year working to train some of the employees so that they would understand mapping changes, GIS changes, things that the new employees, the new senior appraiser and our other senior appraiser had to learn. And she's also working on some things that will help us reduce the revaluation costs. Last year, her budgeted amount, I believe, was about $20,000, but it was booked separately in the budget under an actual employee. This year, it was cut to $10,000, but it was put on as temporary services.
And a temporary service, meaning that this individual is a subcontractor and not an employee, or are we back on, no, this is really an employee and...
No different from Peter Schaefer, and we'll get into it with some other departments as well, with some of the retirees that are hired under the 75-day
rule. Under the 75-day rule?
Correct.
So they are brought back as employees without benefits? Is that what it is?
Other than like Lynn explained with the finance department, they still have to pay FICA and all the other
FICA and
payroll deductions, okay. But they don't get any benefits from healthcare or anything like that.
And what is the hourly rate for that individual?
I'd have to look at that. She went from the top step being the 40-year employee to the low step in that position. But it, as far as the hourly rate, I'd have to look that up.
But that person would be getting paid on an hourly rate?
That's correct.
And you're not sure what that hourly rate is?
I'm going to say it's around $30, but I'd have to look that up to confirm.
Okay, if you could check that out and get back to us on that.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay,
Lynn.
That's it.
Sorry. The finance director just clarified it's $33.15.
At $33.15?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And that service, $33.15, that service is at the call of someone from your department?
Yeah, she basically has been working hand-in-hand with the other senior appraiser that now took on the duties for GIS and for the mapping changes that happened. That was an area that she hadn't worked with before. Now she's kind of stepped back from that and will do more oversight, which is why her hourly or her total salary will drop down. But she's also helping to reduce our costs for the department overall as we try to reduce reval costs.
And who keeps track of her hours?
She actually submits them through the employee self-service. I approve them every week on a weekly basis.
Okay.
I keep it on the calendar as she's there each day.
So in your department and under your supervision, this individual who is on an hourly rate has to submit like a time card, so to speak, to you.
That's
for
correct.
Approval. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, hi, Director. A couple of clarifying questions. You know, looking at overall increases, we're looking at ballpark $220,000 increase. From what I heard, it's filling three open positions, which is new to that line item. Is that correct?
Well, when you say overall increases, it's actually not. But when we had those positions open, there was savings for the city that took place. When you're looking at what we're projecting, we're going to expend this fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
I see where you're getting that, but.
Yep.
It's just that those positions were not filled because we weren't in the cycle that would benefit by them. As we go forward, we worked with the administration to come up with a plan that would reduce our reval cost overall. We're going to be able to fund it consistently around $40,000 per year, so we won't have spikes one year and drops the next. Like if you look back over the last couple of revals, my department looks like it, you know, spent an extra $500,000 one year, and then we did a great job and lowered it down, where it's really just a funding mechanism to how it's been budgeted.
No, I get that. Don't be defensive. I was just trying to explain.
This will be correcting that going forward.
So it's so I can get to the, I'm trying to justify the 220, which is three positions that are going on, which are equated to how much of that 220 ballpark?
Well, we had the deputy assessor. That position's been open since I got here. Basically because I'm doing both jobs, and not that I want to.
And you're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you. But we want to try to have one, an orderly transition. Not that I'm planning to go anywhere, but we do have to plan for that eventuality. Let me get that actual number. Actually, I think it's in the budget book itself.
This is a great example of it's there where you gotta hunt and find. It'd be really nice if, you know, there's a nice little database that we could just spit out the details, but
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry because of
the
acoustics in here are awful.
They are awful, aren't they? No, my question was, you know, the data's there.
whether it's online or here, I'm just responding to previous requests and also a comment by Councilman Lattiser, which was, you know, having that access and seeing the detail and being able to do that analysis.
Well, no, but this is all in the current year's budget as well under the personnel supplement. So the deputy salary was budgeted last year at $84,012, basically. It's now $86,842. Mm-hmm. And again, my eyes are tough, so it might be off pennies.
Yep.
Then we had an appraiser position that was open. That was budgeted last year at $57,512. Which, no, that number last year was wrong. Because that's below the lowest step. It would have been roughly, for somebody new that's not eligible for longevity. And that's the part, as we budget, we don't know who's going to get that position, if they're coming from another office or even from within the department. So that this year is proposed at $59,648, but I believe that's below what the actual number will be. And then the other position was the assessment record specialist, which was in at $62,508 last year and is in at $60,592 this year. So a little bit of a drop, but I think that's because of the longevity for the person that was holding that position.
Okay. Going back to, you're explaining a position which I just want to make sure I hear this correctly. It was, you were breaking up the salary plus the percent increase plus, you know, the longevity and all that good stuff. Did I hear you correctly that this individual went from, for a base salary of $70,000 to $92,000 for the base salary plus the others?
No. So the salary itself was $72,167. Okay. That was at the steps she was eligible for before. She's also been here, I don't have her exact years in front of me, but she had longevity of 8141 for a total of 80,308. Her longevity is now going up to 9950, and her total salary before the percentage increases for this year is 90,259. So it's really going from 80,308 to 90,259, and then the 1.0325 and the 1.009 for January.
So I guess my question is, she was at 72. What is she at?
She would have been at 80, including her longevity.
Forget the longevity. You gave me the longevity, which is 8141, and then 9950 for a total of 80,308 to 90,259. So the salary increase is from 72,000 to what?
Well, again, we don't do the math that way. So I'd have to get back to you on that. But the longevity and the salary itself were at 80,000, and the equivalent of that is now 90,259. Mm-hmm. Before we apply the percentages that are contractual for this year.
Okay. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, the longevity is about 1%, you know, or 1,000, almost 2,000.
Yeah, about 1,800.
So an $8,000 raise on 80,000, that's a 10% increase. So what I'm trying to hear and understand is, how do we get there?
Because of the top step. So her top step actually kicked in this fiscal year.
Yep.
In April, she got moved up. We got notified by the personnel department that she now reached that step. And so we modified her pay back in this current fiscal year.
Okay.
But this is the number necessary to fund that position next year.
Okay. And that increase is strictly contractual?
No raise whatsoever.
No raise. What the contractual only. Okay.
That's correct.
And my last question for you is really more of a comment, which I need to applaud you on this, which is looking at doing the assessments rolling every year. I applaud you on that, and I do look forward to see how it's implemented, not just how it's being done,
what resources you do them, and also the appeals process. So definitely applaud you for that effort, and I would love to hear more about it.
You're welcome. We're actually doing more with less, and we're going to get a better project as a result.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. When you mentioned about the budget over the last 8 years, I took a look back through the budget documents and saw that, yes, the numbers are all basically in the same vicinity as 8 years ago, which is really striking for the consistency and ability to keep those costs in check over the years. I know that a lot of that goes to, as well, the ability to take some of those services that previously were going to outside vendors, bringing those in-house. So makes it all the more remarkable and striking that your department and yourself as director really have been able to do more with less. So just wanted to take a moment to recognize that and thank you for your service.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for. And that's with four less employees than we had when I got here. So.
Councilman Napa.
Director, you had mentioned that the appraiser line item, you think that that $59,648 is lower than what the actual cost is going to be?
Slightly, for step one.
Is that because they're going to be hired later in the year, or what?
Part of the field work and part of the reevaluation goal is to gear up and start doing some of that work this year. So yeah, we'll probably be 3 months into it by the time we have that position fully filled.
Okay, so what you're alluding to is that their annual salary is going to be higher than this number, but this would be the budget impact for fiscal 27?
Yeah, budget being a projection, we don't know who's going to qualify and get that position. If they're eligible for longevity or a higher step, then that will be something we'll have to address within the budget.
Thank you, Director.
You're welcome.
Councilman Lattison.
Director, I'm looking at your year-to-date numbers, year-to-date expended of $494,074, and your projection for the end of the fiscal year of $620,000, and then your ask for this year, $841,283. The reason I'm questioning this is when I calculate the monthly expenditure, and this is as of today, by the way, of the $494,074 that's expended, and there are no encumbrances. When I do the math on that, that averages out to approximately $49,407 a month. We have about a month and a half left to go, which is about $74,000. Which brings me up to 568. So the question is, how did you make a projection of 620, 556, and then in addition to that, request 841 this year?
Well, a couple of things. We have a payment due on the reval, which is 10% of the project cost, which is about $500,000. So there's roughly $50,000 that will be added on in this fiscal year for the last reval that was conducted. We have the three open positions, which are really gonna affect the 841 for the request. In addition to that, the temp services of that employee that we talked about, Sandra Gemma, is gonna be something that fluctuates with time. So it's more heavily weighted as we get closer to certifying the tax roll and doing the items that are necessary to close things out for the year.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Any members of the public have anything for the city assessor?
Good evening, Council. Shell Comar, Ward 1. Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
Just focusing on two line items. The tax sale, which is line 323, and the property reevaluation, line 324. Kind of following up with what Councilman Lattiser said, just looking at, and maybe you have more up-to-date numbers of what we've already expended. But the tax sale, for instance.
So I got to clarify before we get to that. The tax collector handles that part of the budget. I can only address the property revaluation.
That's right. Oh, yours is the property reevaluation then.
Yeah.
So to date is 1,177, and your projection is 40,000. Is this for property reevaluation that we see every few years, or is this a yearly assessment?
Two different reevaluation projects. There's a statistical, which happens every 3 years, and a full reevaluation, which happens every nine. We just completed the nine-year reevaluation. Part of that project includes them holding off on getting paid for the last retainage amount until the completion of all the hearings from the tax appeals, which just concluded at the end of April. So there's going to be a budgetary increase there in that line item. Not an increase, but they'll be paid in this fiscal year for that component.
Okay, so you think that projected 40,000, you're going to use that in the next year?
Yes.
Okay.
But the 40,000 you see in the budget for next year is a whole different thing. That is the start of the next three-year revaluation cycle, which, as I explained, we're breaking that up, and instead of doing it in a third year, we're doing a third every year so that we can control our costs a little better, budget a streamlined amount. And we'll see less fluctuation within the department budget by doing it that way.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anyone else have anything for the city assessor? All right, seeing none, we move on to MGT Information Systems, aka MIS.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, IT director. Just a brief summary of the overall budget presented. It's a very aggressive budget for us. As you know, contractually, we have software vendors that have the right contractually to raise their prices significantly, I think up to 10% in most of the contracts. We took a different approach this year and simply held the line on it, on that and a number of other categories. It's an optimistic budget, but our intention is to simply go ahead and negotiate as hard as we can when those invoices come due. We're also going to be leveraging continued grant money for cybersecurity to keep our cybersecurity position as strong as possible. We held the line on hardware expenditures and new projects. We did that for a couple reasons. Number one, we have a number of projects we're working on now, migrations to the cloud and things along those lines that can use some attention. We're going to focus on those. Also, as you may be aware, with the advent of AI, pricing in the technology field has gone through the roof. And while we're going to try to maintain our replacement policy so we don't fall too far behind, we're taking a much more judicious approach because pricing has gone up 2x, 3x. Just sitting here, I got a quote we had asked for 2 years ago, precisely the same equipment, the same memory and hard drives was quoted at $20,000. I just got the quote from the vendor for today, it's $89,000. And before you grab your hearts, we will not be going forward with that. But it just shows you how much pricing has increased over the period that period of time. We have one other semi-significant increase, and that was in telecommunications. It went up $26,000, but of that $26,000, $16,000 of it is attributable to a three-year maintenance contract on our firewalls. So 3 years ago, we purchased the firewalls. They do three-year support contracts with them. Unfortunately, this year is the first year that we're going to have to renew it. So that's the majority of that increase. As far as salaries go, Councilman Lattiser, you wanted to know what piece of the salary increases, minus my position, which I will cover in a second. We have all contractual increases, and of the increases, 13,400 of them are attributable to longevity. One half-ish of that longevity increase is attributable to someone just becoming eligible for longevity this year at $4,200. So we've had the $9,200 going on, the $4,200 is new this year. Other than that, it's contractual, except for my position. The IT director's position had a significant increase in budgeted salary this year. I know I look 40, but I'm actually a little bit older than that, and there's a good chance that there will be a change in the position in the future. With that, the market demands, it's just like buying a car. You buy a car, you pay X amount of dollars for it. 5-6 years later, you go to replace that car. Pricing isn't the same. It's gone up significantly. The same with the market for IT positions. So we just thought it was probably very prudent to budget for what could very well be an anticipated need in the coming year. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Can we condition your budget on you not being allowed to leave? Yeah, your position 111 is arguably low for a finance or IT director as well. But Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you. So, Director, I just heard you say that, and also Director Dupuy stated the same thing, that you each have an employee who at some point in this upcoming fiscal year is going to qualify for a longevity increase. And as a result, and responsibly so, you have calculated that into the 2027 fiscal year budget, correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's for a point of clarification. Thank you.
I only have two employees that are eligible. I only have two employees that are eligible for longevity. One had been collecting longevity, and then the second employee becomes eligible this year. And it's calculated.
And rightfully so. I mean, obviously, if there is an anticipated or known increase in someone's salary, such as longevity, in a particular fiscal year, it should be calculated in that fiscal year and added into the budget.
It is.
Otherwise, it's a non-budgeted item.
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will need to concur with the president that everything could continue as long as you're here. Just a couple of observations. You had a system project analyst which moved to MIS to finance, and obviously it's department transfer for the need, but there was a gap of an increase in that salary of $4,294. Do you know what that increase was due to?
There was an increase in that position when it moved to the finance budget?
Yep, of $4,294.
To answer your question, no, I'm not sure of that.
Okay.
Any increase for that position is just the 3.25. He qualifies for the 0.9 in January as well.
Okay.
If I may, I didn't address it because Director Proger had already addressed it, but just to back up what you said, that person, Chris, we had the conversation. The majority of his time is spent in our ERP system. Right now, his project's focused there. He sees his career path for project management being in the business end of it, more so than the technology end of it. We're just accommodating him. That was the rationale for moving. And it's still doing the same job.
Yep. I'm not questioning the transfer. That's you have two desktop support analysts. Their increase was combined about $9,000. I see the work that they do, so it seemed very reasonable, even though the absolute percent was slightly higher. than the average, but their salary was more consistent with desktop analysts. The item that triggered for me was that the credits, we talk about the credits from the enterprise fund. And in the past, your sewer and water credits for MIS was about $16,000 each. But it shifted from, you know, $32,000 approximately back to the general fund. So I know what was said earlier, which was the increase in the transfers from the enterprise fund was due to you know, number of statements and things of that nature. Has your workload significantly decreased that much for the type of credit?
I would say that we give a lot of credit, deservedly so, to the project manager. That workload, he provides the counseling to them. That's really what the enterprise funds are paying us for, along with the desktop support analysts and, you know, my consultations and all the stuff that goes along with it. So with moving that position out of my department, that reduced it.
Yeah, logical answer. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you. Going to try to word this in a way that doesn't get me in trouble. So if I'm not wording it quite correctly, feel free to not respond. And with the preface that we want you to be here forever as our MIS director, I think you've done excellent job. So being careful how to phrase this. From what you said earlier, I take it that you don't plan to continue as MIS director as of sometime within the end of fiscal year 27?
I would think that's a good likelihood, yes.
Okay. And wish it were otherwise, but
thank you.
Just wanted to make certain that I was clear on that. Thank you.
Just to follow up on Councilman Muto's questioning with the enterprise fund credits and temporary services, how are those credits determined or calculated? Is there a formula that is indicative of your budget, or is this just a number that you receive from the sewer department or the water department and they say, okay, here's your credit? Is there an actual formula that you're aware of that determines how they arrived at that credit, or is this just an arbitrary number that is provided to you and that's what it is?
It has always been explained to me that it is not arbitrary. It is a formula, but I would have to defer to the finance department to articulate what that formula is, if you were interested in that.
Sure. Through the council president, could we have the finance director speak to how those credits are determined?
We have a spreadsheet that's a schedule of how everyone is calculated, and our auditors do review it and approve it. In the case of the IT department, it's about time that they're really spending, and it's kind of an estimate of that, really, and how many users, employees they have. We try to have it rational. The decrease in this department is really because one employee is moving over to the finance department, and so the amount that we can back charge would change overall.
So I'm assuming by what you said that if I were to ask for the calculations that determined what these credits were or are, you'd be able to provide that?
Yeah. I mean, there is method to the madness, and the water and sewer department are perfectly aware and approve of them.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll send off an email asking for that. Well, just at least for one of these departments anyways.
Hi, Lynn. Just a quick follow-up. So these credits from the water department and sewer department, because they are coming from the rate payers and so forth. Is it required that the work done that's being credited for are water and sewer related?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's more efficient for our desktop triage support, that was the word. Folks are helping the water and sewer department, not just City Hall. And that's how we have gone about it for years.
Okay, and that's true for every department?
Correct.
Okay, awesome.
It saves, you know, the enterprise funds from having their own collecting department, that kind of thing.
Nope. That makes sense. Thank you.
Any members of the public have anything for MIS?
Michelle Comar, Ward 1. Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
I had questions on three line items, and there's going to be a trend. I'll probably look at the budget the same way. Probably from a simply, very simple, logical approach. And what concerns me is line number 140, temporary services. So far as of the end of March, none of that $25,000, which was approved, was expended. But yet there's a request of $20,000 in this budget. I'm not quite following the historic trend here. Do you really, or can you cut that $20,000? I don't see the need in just looking at the line items.
I can explain the situation. I'm looking at my budget. Hang on one second, if I could, please. I can speak to this year. Actually, that $25,000 was expended this year. However, it was expended out of a different budget category. It was expended out of the salary. We have a unique situation where we have a justifiable need for another technician position. We happen to engage an intern who I cannot speak highly enough of. Just to give you a quick idea of it, this gentleman placed sixth in the nation in a cybersecurity competition. So he is rather remarkable. I don't want to swell his head. His college schedule, he's going to college now at New England Tech. His schedule allows him to actually work for us part-time during the day. The work he does for us is what is referenced there, and it's allowed us to not have to go out and hire that new position. I don't anticipate that continuing forever, but we are going to take advantage of it while we can.
So I heard some of the discussion earlier with personnel and Peter Schaefer in being a temporary or a consultant or a full-time employee. So you're saying that the $20,000 is a salary?
It is not. It is a temporary hourly rate. I believe the hourly rate is about $21 an hour, I believe. It's in that vicinity, $21.50 an hour. It is only for the hours he works. It carries with it no vacation benefit. It carries with it no health care benefit. It carries with it no holiday benefit, simply hours spent. It varies. He was over the summer able to put a few more hours in. That's been cut back. He also has another position with a local company that he works at. So it's just a hired gun. It has no salary benefits associated with it. The account number it's being charged out to was simply to avoid having to do a dollar transfer, a journal entry.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Thank you. And I have two more items. 303 telephone. To date, at the end of March, $73,296 was expended. And the projection between then and the end of the year, you plan to use almost another $100,000. That seems a little. I can't follow the logic there. And then the request is for $179,000, which the previous year, in 2025, it was 68, $50,000, and in 2024, $71,000 expended. Do you think that number is high and can be reduced for telephone?
We've actually done a lot of work trying to reduce it, but in all honesty, no, that keeps on going up. That's one of those services that carries with it both in the cellular area and the desktop area. We've done several concerted sweeps where we've taken desk phones that weren't utilized 100% and reduced those down, but the ongoing cost it carries with it, all the data communications we do for cellular service. So any of the hotspots that we use to liven up an area and communicate in comes out of that area. And, well, and I think that's it's going to be accurate.
Yeah, historically, that looks like a big jump compared to what you've used in past years. So I kind of hope that that can be looked at closer with a reduction for telephone usage. Then the last item is miscellaneous capital expenditure. So last year, $90,000 was approved, and none so far has been expended as the end of March. Why is that?
We did not engage in the project that was earmarked for. We have engaged in a project that will utilize some of that funding, and that's why we did not put that funding in for next year. That's what I was addressing earlier when I explained that we're not taking on those capital projects for the next year's budget just to keep those costs down.
All right, so that was included in last year's budget. Taxpayers, the tax rate was set based on this number too. So where did the $90,000 not used, where did it get transferred to in the budget?
I believe it just goes to the general fund as all other non-expenditures go to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, why wasn't that used so far this year, the $90,000?
It's true for any budget. I'm sure you've been involved in them. You sit at the beginning of the year and you make an intentional guess at what projects you're going to be able to engage in, what makes sense at the time. As you get into the year, you do more evaluations and you try to evaluate whether or not it still contains value or whether the amount budgeted is going to be sufficient. We made a judgment call that that budgeted dollar amount was not going to be sufficient, and it was not a justifiable project for this year.
Was that in your capital improvements budget as well?
That is, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Your capital expenditures, was that in the capital improvements budget as well? Like, is that noted somewhere else in the budget?
No, it's just listed in, it's only one spot. It shows up in the budget once. You talk about the $90,000?
Yes.
Yes, just once.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Councilman Lattice.
Yes, thank you. Director, to follow up on Ms. Comar's question on the phone, the telecommunications. So far this year, including encumbrances, and this is, again, effective as of today, including encumbrances, you have spent $69,403. Your available budget is $101,596. So it seems to me that there is some room there for adjustments. There's no way you're going to spend $100,000 between now and the end of June.
I would agree. I would have to look into that, and I'll get you an answer to it.
That'll be a Thursday conversation.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. President. Thank you.
That was 25303, right?
Yes, sir. 25303. No, I stand corrected. 25303.
Any other questions for MIS? Anyone from the public? All right. We're moving on to purchasing.
Thank you.